Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here, for offering your attention at such an early time of day to someone speaking. I'd like to just offer some reflections and some suggestions around Dana practice, which is a form of practice that we'll be exploring this morning in a very particular way. It's always important to remember that actually when we're on retreat, Dana is really part of the fabric of our shared time together. And just to say, you know, this word dana literally means giving, mm-hmm. or gifting, if you want to kind of take it a little bit more into the beauty of it. Often translated as generosity, but you know, really that sense of that which is given, that which is offered, in an open-hearted way. And it is a very, very foundational part of our practice. I think Laura mentioned somewhere over the days, you know, this importance of friendship and of community on the path. And I often like to reflect on Dana as a practice of community, a practice of participation. It really takes us from this conventional way of that society works, you know, where you know there's a exchange between individuals, if you like, to a sense of being part of a community of mutual support. And so very much around community, around participation. And this is very much the spirit in which these teachings and these practices have been shared from the time of the Buddha to our time. And actually, I usually like to mention preceding the Buddha. This is actually a practice, a way of sharing teachings and practices that was present in India before the Buddha's time, and that the Buddha incorporated into the way they shared the teachings. And if we come back to the particularities of being here and we reflect in that way, you know, we can see this, you know, being here on retreat wouldn't be possible without the giving of so many others. Yeah. Wouldn't be possible without the giving of so many others and of all of you. Yeah. So all of you showing up, yeah. being willing to prioritize this. Sitting in here, even when, at times when it was really difficult and you may have wanted to kind of escape. Yeah. Someone had generously blocked your car with theirs. So but just that sense of, you know, the mutual support, the mutual giving and receiving that is in the space, and that we don't actually even see or register a lot of the time. It very much is what creates this fabric, you know, the showing up for, you know, your chores, your jobs, you know, and contributing that way. The work retreats and personal retreats who are here, you know, for a longer term and kind of give a certain energy that we can just come in and benefit from. All the countless people who have practiced here before us. Mm-hmm. So that kind of we come in and we're actually part of that And it's, you know, behind us, around us, and in front of us. Yeah? It's a movement of giving that we take part of, which is very, very precious, very beautiful. So I hope we're getting the sense. I have a reputation of giving long Dharma talks. Sometimes the coordinators don't even bother to cut on time for their bit because they know I'll overrun. But let's see. Maybe today my Dharma practice will be evolved enough that I'll keep to my time. So today we have the opportunity to practice, as I said in the beginning, Dharma in a particular form. And I really want to emphasize it's one form. It's not the form. It's one form of practicing Dharma. Yeah. Very much, as I said, and just the giving of your attention and the showing up and the participating, that we're very much practicing all the time. And the particular way of practicing Dharma today is to do with supporting the kind of particular conditions that made this retreat possible to unfold and to take place. And I have this image often when I'm giving Dharma talks, and I want to, or reflecting on Dharma myself, to share that for me the practice of Dharma in this way is really about turning the wheel of Dharma. Yeah, making it's beyond. It's about this retreat, but it's beyond this retreat. Yeah, it's about these teachings and these practices. And that when we participate through being here, through giving our attention, through giving ourselves to the practice, and through supporting financially in whatever way is possible for us, then we're participating in that turning of the wheel, which is the image used in the tradition for the teachings. You know, they keep going. Yeah, they keep being shared. And so there'll be the possibility to offer financial Dharma in a few different ways, or a few different avenues. One of them is to Gaia House. And, you know, I do know, yeah, that, you know, you've paid a fee for being here. Contributed already very, very generously, and that is really appreciated and supports this retreat to happen. There is the possibility to offer Dharma to the Gaia House General Fund, which does many, many different things, including the ongoing development of Gaia House, the ongoing project of keeping the house and grounds going, and also the financial assistance and bursary fund. That is also part of that general fund, which supports those who are, for whatever conditions, unable to meet their daily rate, to do that in a really, really free way. Yeah. And so that's one avenue that our generosity, our giving, can go today as you practice, and also beyond today. Another avenue is to support the residential community. Yeah. I still often refer to them as coordinators. That's the old language. Before that, it was managers. Before, there was paid staff. So, but now they're the residential community, or the resident guardian angels of Gaia House. There are currently nine of them. One is just on. About to leave us after 2 years of being here, so there'll be eight. And they are here very much as a practice of Dharma, living here for periods between a year and 2 years usually, in completely voluntary capacity, and taking care of everything behind the scenes that makes it possible for us to be here. So, you know, they're the ones who showed you your job on the first day, they're the ones who welcomed you when you arrived, they're the ones who answered your notes, if you wrote any, the ones who changed the schedule last night, you know, all these little, changed the clocks, all these little and large cook the food things that are being done to keep all of us so well cared for. And they are here As I said, voluntarily they receive a very modest stipend for their time here. I like to refer to it as pocket money. And they rely on dana from all of us for livelihood beyond that. So there is the possibility to support them for their beautiful offering to all of us. And the third avenue where your dana can flow this morning is for the teachings. So that will be for Laura and myself for what we've shared over the days here, and for everything that we've kind of done before that and still ongoingly to support our own practice so that we are able to share in this way. And in our tradition, the teachings are always offered completely in the spirit of dana, of freely offering in this way. And it's a great blessing, I know, for both of us to be able to offer like this. So we receive nothing from Gaia House except our travel expenses from West Dorset and Totnes towards being here. And we kind of are open to receive your support in whatever way you've moved to offer it to support our livelihoods. Just to say, you know, for myself, as many of you know, I teach full time, and dana is my primary source of livelihood. For Laura, also teaching full time and also being, as she mentioned, the teacher supporting the staff at Gaia House, and she does receive, she's always very, very, makes sure that I say this, that she does receive financial contribution from Gaia House for that part of her offering, but with teaching, that is fully on dana. I want to say a little bit about why we do it this way. Sometimes, you know, the question arises, well, why do it this way? Why not just add a little bit onto that registration fee and cover all the extras? And then we don't need to sit here at 7 in the morning and be talked to. And we also maybe don't need to engage with the complexities and the potential discomfort, you know, that comes up around suddenly needing to think about money. Yeah, in this kind of space which feels sometimes transcendent to that. And so part of the question is, part of the answer is already in that, in what I just said, but not only. So why are the teachers offered in this way? Why are the teachings offered in this way? Why does Gaia House also attempt to keep the daily rate as low as possible and rely on dana for more of its needs, and why do the resident staff also work in this way? And there's many reasons, but I just want to name a few. Yeah. One is to really keep these teachings and these opportunities as accessible as possible, yeah, for as many as possible. So many things in our world which have a ticket price, yeah, an entry price, which means that they are less available. Yeah. See, those who, you know, for whatever reasons and circumstances have less financial possibilities. And, you know, it's an honouring also of the fact that that could be any of us, yeah, at any time. And reflect, you know, that for many years, yeah, I was only able to practice here because of the dana culture and because of the financial assistance fund. It's not able. I would not have been able to practice without that. Mm-hmm. Many years. And so, and that may still come in the future. Yeah, we don't know. So it's an honouring, yeah, of that shared reality of all of us and of that wish to make this as accessible as possible. It's also a very deep and powerful practice. Dana is a deep and powerful practice for all of us. It's a practice of both giving and receiving. Yeah, feeling that sense of participation. Feeling that sense of also our vulnerability, as I just touched on. And it's a practice of creating the kind of world that we may really wish to live in, when things are shared rather than distributed in ways that are less in alignment with wisdom and with compassion. So it's a deep and powerful practice for us. And so any discomfort that arises with it, if it does arise, is welcome. Yeah? It's the learning edge. It's part of the practice. It's not that we're doing something wrong. Yeah? Or our dana practice isn't good enough. No, these are our edges. This is where we grow. And any joy that arises is really welcome, because it's also a practice of joy. Yeah? It's a practice of honoring our place. And within this network of life and the web of life, and a feeling that movement of what we are being moved by, that which we've received, and wishing to support in whatever way is possible for us. So the practicalities of dana practice, and then I'll come back to a few suggestions on how to practice. You've probably noticed the notice board area, the dana area, is very well placed in the entertainment section of Gaya, which is, where there's some things you can read. Perhaps you've memorized some of them by now. But the dana area is there. You may have seen there's these three slots for Gaya House, for the residential community, for the teachers. And there's explanations there on how to offer dana in the different ways, cash, check, and debit card. And so all of that is there. And so there's also the possibility to offer dana via feedback forms, which are also now in that area. And that is also a real act of dana for Gaya House, to receive your feedback. It's all really welcome. And, sometimes we think, oh, does anyone actually read it? And I like to say, yes, here at Gaya House, the feedback is definitely read and attended to and valued. So, before I go into the kind of slight suggestions for the practice, also to say that when Meg comes in a few minutes for the closing talk, Meg will also bring your phones for those of you who've deposited them, and I just want to prepare you for that reunion. So, and for those of you who've got your phones hidden away in your room, that will come at some point today as well. So for those who will be picking up your phones now, please leave them switched off through the house. If at any point anyone, if you need to make any travel arrangements or something before Simon's breaks, then please do it, away from the grounds and the house. And in general, we'll talk about that engagement, but I just want to say, you may really feel like you want to leave your phone in the basket or in your room when you leave today. Please take it with you, but just notice what happens in that re-engagement. So a little bit about the practice of offering dana in this financial form, as I mentioned. And this is how I practice, and so this is how I offer to others to practice, and you may find your own way. So the reason we give the dana talk so early in the day is to give you time. Yeah. And so, to make a practice fruitful, there's really something about giving time to that. And so I want to invite you to reflect. What has moved me Yeah, what has touched me? What do I feel I've received from being here? What do I feel I've received? To really let that be a reflection that you open to. And then to also open to that movement, which can be a natural movement a lot of the time. When we feel we've received something, we also feel the movement that wants to give. And so feeling, opening to that, feeling if that comes through and in what way it comes through, and really allowing it. You know, these two are the most significant aspect of the practice. Yeah? What do I feel I've received? Letting that in. And then feeling that movement that wishes to offer and to give. And it may be a movement that comes with a felt sense. Yeah? And then it can be really helpful. We at some point need to bring in the practicalities, yeah? And how much would I like to give, yeah? To offer, and let that movement be free, yeah? So just feel that movement of what is it that I'd like to offer. I have to do this with my hand, because that's one hand of the Dharma moving through, and that energy of that is really beautiful and precious. And then bringing in your particular conditions and possibilities. Yeah, the conditions of your life. What's possible for you? Now that's included in our Dharma practice. Because it's not just about going out there. We're included in it. So what do I wish to offer? And how does that balance with what is possible for me? And those two come together. Yeah. And so the giving, the Dharma, honors, respects the generosity of our heart's wish and the conditions of our life. Yeah? At this time, what is possible for each individual? And with that mutual offering, we also open to, again, this is a practice of community. And so between us at any given time, some of us will be able to offer more. Yeah? Doing that on behalf of those who at this particular time are able to offer less. And the less and more are only the numbers, they're not the Dana. Yeah? The Dana doesn't get measured by that. Yeah? But just trusting in that sense of community and of mutual support also. And if possible, feeling the benefit and the joy of this practice. It's a practice of joy. So I don't know, Laura, if you'd like to add anything.
I don't have anything to add, but just appreciate your sharing, your framing of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for your the Dana of your attention and your listening. All the forms, including the form that will unfold today. And Meg is here, so we will hand over to her. Please come, Meg.